live on the internet.
And Heise, is it always like BBS One now, or does it switch?
It switches. We have it's always the same for I don't even know. I guess for Sunday it's one, and for the Monday and Wednesday it's two, or the other way around.
Gotcha.
Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Terrence Brandon, Yonkers, New York.
Hello, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
All right. Are you in New York City?
North of the Bronx.
Okay.
On the national news, I saw the blizzard in Kansas, but my son in Colorado called and said it was a nice day there. So, wow.
Hello, Dev.
Hey, hi.
You are recognized. How are you?
Hi.
Good day. Good day. So, ich bin genug geschlafen, huh? Well, I'm glad you're here.
Are you?
I'm okay. I'm still recovering from my cold.
Oh, okay. I hope that you feel better.
Nice to have you, Daphne.
Hello.
This is Lucy. I just want to say hi. Everybody say hi, and I have a chance to say hi to you. So, good evening, Daphne.
Thank you so much.
You're wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, so are you.
And we have two more people join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Aaron in
Ontario.
I hear it in L.A.?
Yeah, yes.
All right. Thanks for being here. And I hear Ariel?
Yes, Ariel, and I'm in Oregon.
Hi, Ariel. Welcome to the call.
Getting love and light.
All right.
Hi, Ariel.
Hi, Winfrey.
You know, Ariel comes on our calls all the time, but she never speaks up. And I told her she had to speak up tonight.
All right. Thanks for speaking up, Ariel.
You're welcome. Trust getting everything into love and light.
All right.
This is Ron, Mount
Grove.
Ron, welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Okay, how
are
you doing?
I'm well.
This is Larry in northeastern Wisconsin.
Hello, Larry. Thanks for being here.
This is Barbara in Amateur, California.
Barbara, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm well.
Michael, wonderfully.
Hello, Michael.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Okay.
Hello, Rickard. Right, how are you doing, Carla?
I'm doing fine.
Or shall I say, I'm McCarthy. All right.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Carla, my angel statue is doing very well.
More people joined in. Well, say your name and location.
Hello, hi. Caller 17, Francis from Compton, California.
Hello, welcome to the call.
Hey, good evening, hi, George.
Call from Chicago.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And more people have joined. Welcome, everybody. If you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Gary, I'm
Oh, Gary, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
I need some news here, buddy. How are you doing, Gary?
I'm doing good.
Hi. All Mm-hmm. More people joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Blaine Braley in Greenville, South Carolina.
Hello, welcome to the call. Good evening, welcome to the call. Say a name and location. Good evening and welcome to the call. Thank you all for being here. Those who just joined in, welcome. Say a name and location. If you want to.
Terry from Boulder City.
Hello, welcome to the call. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Boulder City, Nevada.
Right.
One of my favorite places. Are you there, Daphne?
I am here, man.
We have fond memories of Boulder City, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, Boulder City is really nice.
It is.
Do you know that artist Steve, who has a little studio in downtown? He does all those metal sculptures. You know those? And he has metal sculptures. Right. We got to know him.
Oh.
And Daphne, when she was trying to chill out, would go to that little old hotel there. You know the old hotel in downtown?
Boulder Dam Hotel,
and she would play piano.
Play piano,
all right,
cool.
They had a big grand piano, and I would sit there, and they'd let me play.
Yeah,
actually,
it's still there.
That was nice. That's interesting that you bring it up.
Huh. I don't remember having fun.
You don't remember having fun? Well, I mean, in life, it was a difficult. There was a lot of stuff going on then, but you know, in retrospect, it had some high points.
All right. Guitar over at the hotel.
You did. All right. My fondest memory of Boulder City was when Daphne left me. I was there by myself in a 3-bedroom house, and I had to pack up everything and move it to Sedona.
Okay, now wait, you have to be fair. The reason that I left was because I was...
Wait a second.
Literally said, you have friends or family in the sewer behind you. Your body can't take... It was about 113. Your body can't take the heat.
You need to get reported, guys.
Wait a second.
This conference is being recorded.
We started the recorder.
A nightmare in terms of, you know, what I was going through.
Wait a second. This is the All in the Family part of the show.
With a twist.
We're reminiscing about Boulder City. And you know what? This is a night that we're going to let out steam. We all have been working hard. We've been working hard, and you've been working hard. Why have you been working hard? Because, you know, once you start, some of you are learning that if you keep coming on to these calls, and if you're a first-timer, you're not going to understand this. But talking to the Elohim and talking to these celestials and having all these high conversations has a wonderful aspect to it. in terms of wisdom, guidance, feeling energies on the line, and love. And then you find out that you're going through your dark night of the soul, and all your stuff is coming up. And you know what? All of you who keep coming on these calls, I know you've been processing stuff. So this is a call to let out steam. Carla, are you on the line, Randy?
I am, man. Hey.
Hey. You know, you know that quality of dark nights of the soul and letting out steam?
Oh, yeah, and it's true, you know, especially these days with the shift and everything being so much clearer now, if you want it to be. It's you get as much as you want to process. It's as fast as you want to process it.
That's right. What does it mean to process stuff? It means that when you really start working on yourself, you start to release patterns. And, you know, some people think that you just magically step into enlightenment or something. And not my, maybe that happens for some people, but not for me, not for most of the people I observe. When you really start, how can you say it, making a commitment to your own evolution, all those things. Carrie, are you eating peanut butter again?
I just muted her. Hold on.
Wait a second. Now she's talking. Unmute her. I hear her.
Okay, you're unmuted.
Carrie, what were you saying?
I thought you were saying something.
No, no, but, well, she was muted, but I heard her in the other room.
Oh.
And now she's still muted. She's still
mute, girl.
Carla, did Nick get on the line?
No, he said he's going to have to pass it up. He's got something else to do. He thanked you for the offer.
All right.
Because you see, he's working. he's not ready to release yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Terry, we can't hear you. I think you're muted on your phone now. Hello, Terry.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Now we hear you, yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, so, I forgot that I was unmuted.
Oh, well, you're going to need to go for a refresher course.
But, Vin, do we need to go back to Boulder City, Nevada, where we started?
Daphne and I were talking about our adventures in Boulder City, Nevada. And, okay, I'll tell you guys, when you talk about processing, I don't usually talk about this for myself, but I'll tell you this, like, some of the stuff that has happened, because we had to pay a lot of dues. Carla, I know, has paid a lot of dues to be able to stand and hold this energy in this realm, because there are negative energies out there that don't want this to occur, and they test you. So, like, my last memory, I'll tell you how we ended up in Boulder City. And then, Daphne, are you ready to sing a song?
I was just thinking, there's a song in this.
Am I ready to sing a song? Now,
yes.
Now this is the first I've heard of this one. What kind of song
Well, I don't know. I want you to express your artistry. I'm going to have Carla sing a song. I know if she wants. I'm not going to force anybody to do
anything.
Well,
I'd rather I'll play the keyboard or something. I don't know.
Well, get your keyboard ready. We'll let you play something for everybody. Okay.
Okay. Maybe.
And Carla, I know you have a song in you, right?
I've got 14 or 34.
I have a song in me.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I've been encouraging people. This is a call where there'll be some time where people can call in, share stuff, ask questions, but we're keeping it kind of light. And, well, but I'm not going to turn it down. If you come up, we're not channeling, so don't ask a really heavy question. Mm-hmm. Keep it light. And, but just to give you an idea of processing, some of you guys think you've got it bad, okay? Well, but just to give you an idea of one of the things I had to go through is I had given a talk in Las Vegas at something called, Noetic Sciences. And Daphne was with me. We actually did a live channeling there. And then we stayed in Las Vegas for a few days. And I have this really neat hotel that I happen to like in Las Vegas that is not one of the big ones. It's probably the oldest hotel in Las Vegas. It's downtown, and it overlooks a plaza with total glowing neon lights. If you look out your window, it's a blaze of neon light stuff. And Daphne was there, and she was totally freaking out. And we did a session.
Oh, no. No, it was the old San Francisco Hotel. It was in the old part of Las Vegas, and actually, I liked it very much. But the quote, freak out, as Wynn refers to, was, I mean, the entire city of Las Vegas, it is entrenched in what is called the negative reversal money grid. And so this is back in 2008, and I wasn't aware of this at the time, but just being in Las Vegas was making me incredibly sick. I mean, nauseous. I mean, like passing out. I mean, I didn't understand what was happening. I just knew that we'd be walking through these casinos, and, you know, people are smoking and they're drinking, and I'm not making any judgments about this stuff. I mean, people do what they do, but the thing about smoking, drinking, gambling, all of that stuff, it literally takes your holographic form and diminishes the vibration of it by octaves. I mean, it solidifies you into very, very rigidly controlled forms that from the research that I've done in subsequent years, and David Wilcox also will, his research supports this as well as many others, Lisa Renee. These are very, very low-level thought forms that are controlled by the negative elite. And they harness the life force. It's called a vesica pipe system, and it's an entrapment of the organic matrix. And basically, your life force, your life source, ends up getting sucked like a vacuum cleaner when you get into places like this, unless you are extremely vigilant. And so, of course, I didn't know about this 5 years ago. I just knew that when I was in places, you know, where people were drinking, smoking, you know, sexual promiscuity, prostitution is legal in Nevada. Again, no judgment. But, you know, you've got things running rampant in terms of, like, collapsing the human potential. And it was an education, just put it that way. It was
I wanted to say one thing, what Daphne was talking about, entrapment and stuff. One image will get it for you, right? So we're in someplace in Nevada, and now personally, I surf on it. I don't get into it. I surf on it. I like the music. I like when you come into the casino and it goes ding a ding a ding a ding a ding a ding a ding, you know, all different keys, you know, so it's a cacophony, it's tone clusters. But there's something about it that for some reason it reminds me of a circus or something, and I stay above anything that's energetically icky, and I just enjoy the music. But at any rate, this is Carla, by the way, and here's the image. I was going through the casino on my way to have a bite to eat. Great thing about Nevada is they want you to gamble, so stuff to eat tends to be cheap. So you can eat a lot for a little, and that's really nice, and it's usually pretty good food. So we were on our way to do that, and I had to look twice, man, because here was this lady. She was in a hospital garment, if you could call it that,
with an IV pole and an IV in her arm, hanging onto the pole. And she was working the slot with the other. And she had this huge fan. I think it was quarters. And she just was one time after another, you know, over. And when I came back from eating, she was right there. I have no idea, you know, when she would actually leave the floor. I suppose only from necessity to refresh herself or to get a new IV. So that's what Daphne's talking about. Yeah, right. So that's what Daphne's talking about. I mean, it's just like there's no mind left. You are a living, breathing vehicle, but the addiction has taken you over. It's just the addiction is living your life for you. So you have no life. The life is gone. And that's a shame, you know, if you don't live your own life.
You know, Terry's got a
different
Terry's got a different approach to casinos, because you put Terry in a casino. She starts walking around and standing in front of all the slot machines and say, now, which one is the right one?
Oh, do you? And
yeah.
How are you at that, Terry?
Well, you know, it's almost none of them that are the right one. And so I was walking through the casino, and there was just like acres of slot machines. And there was another fellow that I was walking with, and he went way ahead of me. And I stopped at this one, and I this is it. This is the one. It's got all these good feelings of that it's going to give a lot of money. And I didn't have any money or anything to play the slots with. I had some dollar bills in my purse, and I stood there for a minute, and I thought, well, I'll never find it again. And my friend was disappearing in the distance, mm-hmm. and I just gave up, and I almost never play the slot machines, and when I played in the past, it's like then just maybe a quarter, I'd win 75 cents, and then I'd stop.
Yeah.
But I just have this ability, like, to surf the energies and to not get into them and to just focus on whatever energies that I'm interested in. So that's my take on it.
You know, I want to say, if anyone's listening to us for the first time tonight, and they expected to hear voices from other dimensions, they're here. But you have to listen in between the cracks. But we do have, oftentimes we do these Monday nights, and we have extraordinary calls, and we have extraordinary history of calls. In fact, it's probably because we put up the history. Both Carla and I have huge amounts of stuff on our websites, and that I urge you to go to the spiritchannel.net or llresearch.org. There's thousands of things up there for free on all kinds of different topics. And on many of them, there's extraordinary energy that comes through. So tonight, we've been doing this for years now. And so this is our fun break where we let our hair hang down. And you realize that just because we do this extraordinary stuff, there's like humans. You know, talking about gambling, when I was first with Daphne, and in the first 6 months, and we were in this crazy situation where we didn't have any money, and they had predicted a newspaper headline in advance. So at the very beginning, I said, how do I know Daphne's not crazy? Can you guys predict a newspaper headline? And they said, watch for this headline in 2 weeks. And in 2 weeks later, there was the headline. If you read the Creator God book, you read the story and you know what the headline is. But a couple of months later, we were sitting there trying to make money, figuring out how. I'm saying, I think this is really important. How do I make this work? And that's when we had our famous drive to Portland, where I said, does anybody want to talk to me? And suddenly, boom, that was the first time there was any channeling. And once there was there was this ongoing conversations, I asked them, I said, why don't you guys help me with the horse races? I figured they predicted a newspaper headline what was possible, and they said it would send you back into patterns of previous lifetimes, which wouldn't be advantageous for your highest role this lifetime. So that was that. Now, let me see. Is Ariel there? Ariel, press star 6. Let's see if she shows up. Ariel? Ariel, you said you were going to talk.
Okay. Yes.
Are you nervous?
Yes.
You are? Now, I'm having Ariel say hello, because Ariel, can I talk about you, Ariel? Is it okay?
Yes.
Ariel is one of those beings that I am sure has come in from a very high dimension, and that has a really hard time grounding in this realm. And I met her a few years ago in Sedona, and in some ways, she reminded me of me when I was younger, because I used to escape this realm by hitchhiking, and hitchhiking sent me into this miraculous freedom from everything, and it was like I was floating. The world was my oyster. I could be anywhere. And as I got to know Ariel, she would be, and she's a woman, so she wasn't hitchhiking, but she had developed the art of getting rides from truck drivers and seeing where she would end up. And she would call up using the truck driver's phone number. Lynn, call in the light. I'm calling in the light. Let's hold the grids together here. What did that feel like, Ariel?
It was awesome. I had my kids with me, too. Yeah. My kids had done it.
Uh-huh.
My son was in Iraq, and so, yeah.
And did you have any synchronicities or little miracles when you were doing that?
Yeah. Like when we were going into South Carolina, remember when I had the big buffalo and we were going to South Carolina and all of a sudden thunder jumped in on with me and we jumped in and we were able to save a bunch of lives because we lifted out those old souls that wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to get that, remember that hurricane that was coming in South Carolina and we went up into New York City and we were able to stand up for light and love. I actually wrote light and love on the top of the buffalo for the nation with the Lord's Prayer mm-hmm. on his neck. And then I released him. And it was fun. But it was kind of scary, too.
Mm-hmm. And have our calls helped you at all, keep it together while you're moving around?
I'm listening to them more and more, and especially some of those tapes that you gave me from Ra for protection. Because I did come here for a higher purpose. I'm not sure of everything, as you know, but it was inspirational meeting Winfrey, because when I saw Winfrey, I saw Ra. I actually saw the temple. And yeah, that night I met him. I washed his feet.
How come when I look in the mirror?
Him.
How come when I look in the mirror, I only see this guy with a big nose?
Oh, that's a wonderful man that sits there. You didn't like me at first when I came in there, but Oren, you know, remember that day? But you've come to love me because I'm learning to love myself. I'm really coming out of I lost a baby this year, I lost a husband this year, I had to let go of a lot of things, and still it's very hard. And it's just me and my dog. I had to go to a Portland ashram because I had some free will violations done to me. But I'm trying to come out and dispel things and let the Lord lead me because I really love Jesus. I love him a lot. I've been watching Pete for 25 years.
Hey, listen, Ariel, you got hundreds of people listening to you right now.
Well, praise the Lord.
Thank you. That's what you want to leave them with. Praise the Lord, right?
Praise the Lord is all I can say because he's getting the victory in my life.
All right. Well, listen, thank
love
you.
Love and light.
Thank you for sharing.
It's scary, scary, Winfrey. It's scary to tell somebody you're a light worker.
Yeah.
Well,
scary. Protect me, guys.
All right.
Put me in your prayers tonight for protection, gas, and food and shelter.
You got it.
I'm in it.
Okay.
All right, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Winfrey. It's scary, though.
Well, it's all right. It's good for you. It's good to move through your fear.
I really want to channel the Elohim, you know. You know that's my goal. I want to channel that Elohim. I have done it once.
Well,
with my husband.
Just be patient.
Pray for Glenn.
If it's the right time, it'll happen. Now you got to be quiet because we're going to have Carla, if she wants to, sing a song.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'll sing it for you, Ariel.
Thank you.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move as the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee.
Great. All right. Lord, Carla. Ooh, I love you, girl. That's awesome. I love you from my heart, too. Woo! I got my... I'm so grateful.
Wait a second. I just unmuted everybody. Can we have a round of applause for Carla and Ariel? Yay!
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, you...
All right. Ariel, I just muted you, so thank you so much. And let me see, what time is it? 7:26. Anyone out there have anything they want to say? Read a poem. Call us any names you want. Anyone. Star 6.
Now there's an approach. Call us names.
Anyone want to call up BBS? I sent out all the phone numbers on BBS today. Because otherwise we're going to see if Daphne's got her piano out. Daphne, are you there?
You're a sly one, Wynn. he totally springs this on me. Okay.
Oh, myself included. What the heck?
Oh, goodness.
And we might have Terry sing a round of Beat It.
Not Louie Louie.
Well, you know, when this voice that said they were Michael Jackson started coming through Kevin, and I'm not telling that story now. I'm not telling the whole story. I just was testing it. I said, how do you write a song? And then he told me, it didn't sound like Terry could make that up. And then I said, could Terry sing one of your songs? And Terry starts going, Beat It.
He was so upset because he couldn't make, like, my voice just couldn't go anywhere near where his voice could go. It was
right.
Totally.
How do I make this happen?
Right. It's like, this voice is like 1 year old as far as training goes.
We all have our gifts.
Is your piano ready, Daphne?
Oh, my gosh. It's a synthesizer. Let's see if it I don't know if you can hear it.
Well, let's see. I'll just, you know, all her life, Daphne has wanted to be a recognized artist. And you know,
and she has
heard
the talent for it, that's for sure.
And she has the talent. You hear her music. And by the way, I think after... Daphne, if it's okay with you, after the show is over, but only if you play something, I will run an email, and I'll put your music out. I'll make a big discount on it, and I'll send you all the money.
Oh, my God. Can you hear this, Wynn? That's very kind of you.
We hear it.
You hear it? Let's see.
second. Let me unmute everybody. Let's hear it for Daphne.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Hey.
Very nice.
Ethereal.
Thank you. And let's see. Daphne?
Yes.
Do you remember Dig the Spaces?
Do I remember Dig the Spaces? Yes.
Oh,
but,
that's so good.
But
yeah,
Rainy Day is more in my recent repertoire.
You remember the chorus to Dig the Spaces? We could do a duet.
That was a big hint, Wynn. I think I want to do Rainy Day instead.
Do you
have the guitar there?
No, I can't get it out. Okay?
okay.
I'll do it Acapulco, okay?
Acapulco.
Hey.
Acapella. Okay.
But I think we should do Dig the Spaces, okay?
I think you should do Dig the Spaces. That's a Wynn song.
You can just come in on the chorus with me, okay? Would you come in on...
Okay, wait
a second. We'll come back to this in a moment. Carrie, are you there? You there?
Yes.
Oh. Carrie, before we do Dig the Spaces, I'd like you to tell a blonde joke.
Well, the only blonde joke I can remember is when I was green in a light bulb and I had to have 13 other people turn the ladder.
All right, that'll pass. That's a blonde joke. And I won't have you sing Beat It. You don't want to sing Beat It, do you? No, forget that. All right.
It's so bad.
So, all right. Daphne and I will do Dig the Spaces. All right? Are you ready, Daphne? Carla? Jim is going to wish he was here today. What, don't you think?
Yeah, I'll have to tell him what he's missing.
We'll have to do one of these again sometime. So this was actually when Daphne and I were driving to Portland, Oregon. I'll tell you the story. I went there to make some money selling something, and this harp band that Daphne used to be in a band with three harpists.
Four.
In Silicon Valley, they happened to be playing in Oregon. And I said, this must be fate. We should go there. And these women were all the wives of fairly successful Silicon Valley...
No, Wynn. You got it all wrong again. No, Jill's husband was Dave, or still is, Dave Menichetti. And Dave is the lead guitarist for YNT, Yesterday and Today, which was quite a successful band. And they have a really big following in Japan and in Europe. In fact, they've been touring Europe for the last couple of years. But Nadine and Lynn were both Silicon Valley professionals. They were tech writers, and Lynn was a longtime person at Hewlett Packard. So they were not, you're giving their husbands all the credit, but actually they both were self-made women, so I think you have to be fair here.
So in any case, we were driving to Portland, and this was after the Does Anybody Want to Talk to Me event. I mean, I didn't realize how momentous that was at the time. I said, this is really nutty. We got a little further up the coast, and I said, well, I'll teach you one of my songs. So the song we were doing was Dig the Spaces, and now I had a booth at a little fair in Portland, and Daphne was there. And one of the ladies from the band came by the booth, and I felt, I felt inadequate, okay? Because here's Daphne, and she's trying to help me. And she wasn't that much help. She wasn't really good at that, but she tried. And this woman, I think it was Jill, came by, the leader of the band, and I said, let's sing Jill a song. And there we were at the booth. And we sung Dig the Spaces. Although I don't think it made a great impression, we tried. Isn't that true? Do you remember that?
I remember that, yeah.
Did I embarrass you?
At that point or now? At that point, I just didn't know where to put any of this. It was so out of context for me. You know, I knew these people in a totally different life. And, you know, and looking back on it, it's kind of funny. But I think that they were kind of in shock because, you know, Robert was very well liked by myself and everyone else involved. So I think it was hard. So
right.
Robert's my husband. So yeah, it was a difficult situation when we were grading the paradigms there.
Right. And I kept driving around looking for a cheap motel, and he said I couldn't stay in a cheap motel. And then we looked at the, was that a Sheraton? It was across the street from the festival. And so let's stay there. And I said, we can't afford it. And what did you say?
I'll pay for it.
That's right.
Well, so had I sold my land in Hawaii yet?
I don't know.
Robert and I had bought 40 acres of land on the Hamakua coast in Hawaii in 1998. And, we really should have held on to it, but we ended up selling it for, I don't know, it was like $300,000 or so. And so I had some of that money, but we were pretty much living on, you know, that. We were just plowing through it. I had no income.
Mm-hmm.
And
all right.
Yeah.
Let's do Dig the Spaces. Everyone's waiting for Dig the Spaces.
Yeah.
And you know, I was writing a lot of sensitive songs, and then I ended up getting some jobs at bars. And I said, how do I communicate to all these people drinking? And Dig the Spaces was one of the songs that came out of it. And even though I don't think people understood the lyrics, they loved the song. They would sing along on the chorus, along with Do It Till You're Sick of It. Okay? So, ready, Daphne?
I don't know when. You're going to have to start.
And listen, if Carla and Terry kind of pick up the lyrics here, they can join in, okay?
Okie doke.
It's pretty easy lyrics, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4. Sometimes the people, they read the books in order to get the smarts, but until they unlock the words from their heads, they're never going to find their hearts. Sometimes the people, they look at the sky, and all they see is clouds. But you know, Mr. Sunshine, he'd be peeping through the cracks if only he was allowed to dig the spaces. You know what I mean? You gotta dig the spaces. Things ain't what they seem. Ready? You ready, Daphne?
It's been so long since I've done this. Keep going. Maybe I'll remember. Go ahead.
Some people like the donut. Some people like the hole. Some people want your body, and the rest, they want your soul. And the atom has got these electrons going round the nucleus. It was Mr. Einstein, he taught us in quantum mechanics. He said, you gotta, dig. Come on,
Dig the spaces.
The spaces.
What I mean, dig the spaces. Things that ain't what they seem. Dig the spaces. How do you go?
Dig the spaces. Dig the spaces.
You know
what
I mean? Dig the spaces.
Dig the spaces. Things just ain't what they seem. Some people's minds are burning. They're looking for a riot. But my mind is like a vacuum. It just wants
some peace and quiet.
And some people like the words of the song, and some people like the rhythm. But if you're looking for the truth, you're going to find it in between them. Yeah, you got to dig the spaces. You know what I mean? Got to dig the spaces. Things to say with that thing. You can come into this too. You got to
dig
the spaces.
You know what I mean?
You know what? You gotta dig the spaces. It just ain't what they seem.
Well,
you gotta
need here, dear. We need a guitar.
I'd like to make an announcement. Transcribers do not have to transcribe this call. Just tell people, put the transcription up and say, you got to listen to it, okay? And this is not going to translate into a transcription very well. Okay?
But you can do the
words.
So,
hey, I like the song, Wynn. Do you have it recorded or not?
I do have it recorded.
Right.
You know, I'm a Daphne, tell them about my songwriting.
Your songwriting. Wynn is an incredibly gifted songwriter. In fact, the first time I heard him, I was, let's see, where were we? We were in Monterey. We were at a Sylamar. And let's see, we had started talking, and you spied there was a big grand piano there in the main hall, and you pointed and you said, go get us some coffee. You said, go get coffee. So I went and got coffee, and you pulled up a chair, and then you launched into it. And I thought, oh, my gosh, it's Randy Newman. I mean, his music really transported me. And the first song I heard him play was Love. What was it called? The
First Encounters.
I call it the coffee song. you had me go get coffee, and the song was about coffee, or meeting someone and starting a conversation, and the person ended up becoming the love of his life. So it was a song that definitely was interdimensional. It transcended space and time, and it was almost as if we were living out at the piano what the lyrics were about, which had a very surreal kind of an effect on me, and I thought, whoa, you know, what's going on here? And, there was a conference going on, so there were people around, and of course, you know, he's so good that, you know, people started gathering, you know, we had a crowd of 30, 40 people around the piano, and it was a surreal moment. It felt like, you know, like life had turned into a Hollywood film. It really did.
Right. Time stopped in the lobby of the hotel.
And actually, that happened to us a lot of places, especially when we go to, like, nice hotels. We'd aim for the Hiltons and the Hyatts because they tended to have nice pianos. And oftentimes, you know, we'd say, you know, buy a glass of wine, you know, can we sit at the piano? And if there weren't a lot of people, and he'd start playing. And, you know, people, they didn't want him to leave. And, in fact, you remember when we were in Pasadena and we met Terry, and we were saying we were having dinner at the the Ritz Carlton.
Ritz Carlton.
Yeah, the Ritz Carlton, and they had we were hanging out there. It was really nice. So he's definitely got the gift when it comes to music. And did you ever tell people about your meeting Brian Holland? How that whole thing started?
The time I picked up the girl in the bar and she moved next door to him?
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. Very interesting, actually.
Well, you know what? I don't want to focus on me too much, okay?
Okay.
You know, truthfully, now that we've opened the can of the worms that I'm a good songwriter and Daphne's a good musician, you know, maybe we'll put more of that out. I am really good. People would hear me and they'd say, God, he reminds me of John Lennon or Randy Newman. I mean, I've always been compared to the best of the best of songwriters. And, you know, you might not know the story, but I thought I was posed to be very successful because I was writing songs with a famous person. And then a song got stolen, became a huge hit, and I freaked out. And I didn't want to play music. I was not quite so worldly as I am now or so facile. My music was way ahead of my persona, my being. And I couldn't live up to it. I mean, I didn't know how. I felt like, you know, I had two. There was two people in me. One was the musician songwriter, and I didn't get recognized. And And it's a very interesting story, because if I got recognized as a songwriter, I'm sure I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. And it was a very unusual quirk, a cosmic quirk, which it took me 25 years to understand, because there was a guy who I was writing songs with. In fact, this is this that I have a very unusual karmic connection with, which I don't even understand in words. But he had told me we have to send one of the songs we wrote together to this publisher in Nashville. And we did, and we both put some extra songs on that tape. And shortly thereafter, maybe 5 months, people started calling me about my hit song and congratulations. So I went and bought the record, and it was published by that publisher in Nashville without my name on it. And I tried to recover. I was going to sue them. I had no money. I was not worldly. My life fell apart, and I ended up selling things on, you know, at street fairs for 25 years. And 25 years later, I get an email. This is very funny. I get an email from the same guy who... He didn't do anything wrong, but I didn't want to talk to him for 25 years because it was like he was, there was part of him that was competitive with me, and he kind of like triggered the most negative synchronicity that ever happened in my life by having this song stolen because he suggested we sent it to those people. So 25 years later, he sends me an email, some article on the web, about Sai Baba having sex with his male disciples. And Sai Baba was this Indian guru who was quite famous at the time. Many people thought he was God or an aspect of God. Of course, he probably was, because everyone
all?
Is. Yeah, right, right. But so I'm reading this article that this guy sends me, and there's a link to the person who wrote it. Okay? And I click on the link to see who wrote the article. And guess where I end up? David Wilcox's website. And if it wasn't for him sending me that article, I wouldn't be here now. Okay? So, oftentimes I look at it and I ponder how amazing it is that the same person that caused the synchronicity for me to get out of music, years later, caused the synchronicity for me to write The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, which led to meeting Daphne, which led to meeting Carla and Terry Channeling. And it's that slight adjustment of the universe, so slight, that makes that such big things can hinge on, that it blows my mind that it works that way. And this same guy, he reoccurred in my life again. He reoccurred again when I went to Laughlin to meet Carla Ruckert. This was probably in 2001, 2003. When I met you, I don't even know if I had met Daphne at that time. I was busy writing the book, and I wanted to meet Carla, because I wanted to see if I trusted her as a person. And I walked into the lecture hall where she was scheduled to talk. And I don't think I ever told you this, Carla. I walked into the lecture hall, and you were not up yet, and they were still closing out on the previous speaker. And guess what? The previous speaker was the same guy who I'm talking about, who caused my song to get stolen, and then sent me the Sai Baba article. And I can mention his name. I'm not saying anything bad about him. His name is Michael Horn. And what was he doing at a UFO festival? He had become the American media representative for some guy in Switzerland who used to see flying saucers in his backyard, Billy Meyer.
Oh, yeah.
And become quite well known as talking about that, and he was there, and I was looking for Carla. Now, you know, when you talk about
how
strange...
Is that when you sang me Between the Spaces?
That's what I sang. That's when I sang You Dig the Spaces, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And then knocked on my windows.
And then I sat at Carla's booth. You know, she had a table there as a speaker, and she was selling her raw material. And, you know, this is the first time we met, and I was selling her books, and no one had ever sold as many books as I had.
Oh, man, he was buttonholing people in the aisles. You got to see this book. He's amazing.
So,
he could sell you anything. But I was
very
impressed with the whole package. I thought it was great, all the way from Dig the Spaces to salesmanship to just who you were. I mean, there are some authentic people in this world, and it's nice to meet one. You know, it's nice to meet one that doesn't have any masks on in particular.
Carla, I was telling you about my dream readings the other day, remember?
Me?
I was telling you.
Little
dream sentences would come in. One of those early sentences was kind of funny. They said, "You finally found a job you won't get tired of."
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Well, listen, nobody called up. Nobody asked any questions. We have 3 minutes left. And the only person who hasn't said very much is our backup angel. Are you there, Terry?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Is there anything...
I'm amazed at the beauty of Carla's voice, and Daphne's voice, and I've heard Daphne before, but not Carla. And
thanks so much.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and I love Rainy Day. Maybe you guys could close with Rainy Day, Daphne.
I don't think we have enough time. It's 7:53, right? That is a good
really sweet. God bless you, sister. You are. I send you a big hug. Thank you so much for saying that. I really appreciate that.
Hello, I'm a listener. I would like to say
who's on there? Yeah, we hear
this
you.
This is Heike from Louisiana. I probably called like a couple of weeks ago. I was watching the Oscars last night, and they had this movie where this 11-year-old girl was nominated. I was just trying to look on the internet, but I couldn't find. But anyway, she was nominated as Best Actress in this movie that had been shot in Louisiana, and I'm from Louisiana. And it was actually found this farmer that had all this junk in his yard, and just, you know, this, like the school bus that was where trees had grown around it. And they were looking for a location for this because it's a movie about very poor people, but they're worthwhile. And I didn't see the movie, but this one line struck me where this little girl says, "I may be poor and little, but God made me, and I have a place in the universe." And I was thinking, that sounds like fourth-dimensional reality, where everyone has worth no matter how much money they have and what they are, and where we're all one. And I really want to see this movie and see if this expresses what our sources talk about. And I hope they put in some nature, too, where you really appreciate nature because we can extend the oneness to that as well.
Is that movie Beasts of the Southern Wild?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, it is.
I've seen clips from that. That little girl is absolutely, she's brilliant, she's precious.
And yeah, that's why she was nominated.
I really recommend people to see that film. Really,
yeah, I'm just
really
wondering if it expresses
the
fourth dimension.
And there's another film that came out, an independent, low-budget film. It was the story of an Irish songwriter, and she becomes his girlfriend. She's from the Czech Republic, and they meet each other. They're living in London. And it was made. It won an award. Not an Academy Award. It won an Oscar in 2005 or 2006. It's called Once.
O-N-C-E. But I just caught it on PBS on KQED last night, and it was one. The music is beautiful, and and it was, you know, it was a low budget film, and it's a true story, and I think what Heike is saying, you know, it's not about money, it's not about status, it's not about education. You know, we're being given, you know, we are the gift. You know, we're the gift. You are your wealth. You, your life, your ideas, your purposefulness, your love, your passion, you know, all this other stuff, you know, material stuff, it's just tools. It's just tools. That's all. And necessity is the mother of invention. So, anyway.
Yeah, I think sometimes people in this reality where your worth is determined by money and status, a lot of times just look down on so-called lower classes, maybe, like they're not as good. And even America does this to other countries, like people from other countries are not as good as Americans. And I think in the new 4D reality, this is all going to change, and we're going to have much more respect for everybody and hopefully for nature, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Heike, do you speak? Are you German, Heike?
Hi.
Was that a yes?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. You know, Daphne is doing a little German-only get-together on Sunday afternoons. And if you send me an email, I'll send you the information. She actually specifically asked that Heike join. So,
Heike and Edna. It's for German speakers. I mean, anyone is welcome to come. It's just that I used to speak fairly good German. I've forgotten a lot of it.
Daphne, excuse me for interrupting. We've got 1 minute left.
Okay.
And I want to make one important announcement. We are doing session 3 of the Ra Law of One Made Simple series again this Saturday. And it's a little early. I was going to wait more time, but Carla's going to go into the hospital. So we decided to do it before she went into the hospital. So I'll send out the official notice probably tomorrow. And also, speaking of movies, when Terry and I were in L.A., we had a few-hour meeting with Barry Morrow, who wrote The Rain Man. And Barry and I have been talking for quite some time about making a movie of my story. And we got a little closer to it. Really, he can't make it, but he's willing to write the story, and he thinks it's going to be a classic. He probably will. And Barry agreed to do a workshop with us. And this guy is a gem. I'll send out the pictures of Terry and me and Barry and me, and maybe in a couple of weeks, if he'll make good on his promise, we'll do a Saturday workshop. And I don't know what it's going to be about, but Barry is a really charming guy, and it'll be fun. On that note, we are going to say goodbye to everybody, and thank you for letting us let our hair down tonight. And thank Carla, Terry, Daphne, Heis, and Harry Hill for her little introduction at the beginning. And every so often, we'll check in with Ariel and see where she is in the country, okay? And send her love and light. She's one of those people that will feel it. And I'm going to unmute you all.
Thank
Everybody's
you.
Unmuted.
God bless everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. It was lovely. All the best.